Proverbs chapter 11.
Without direction, people lose their way. God hates cheating in the marketplace. He loves it when business is above board. The stuck up fall flat on their faces, but down-to-earth people stand firm. The integrity of the honest keeps them on track. The deviousness of crooks brings them to ruin. A thick bankroll is no help when life falls apart, but a principled life can stand up to the worst. Moral character makes for smooth travelling, and evil life is hard to live. Is a hard life, sorry. Good character is the best insurance. Crooks get trapped in their sinful lust. When the wicked die, that's it. The story is over. End of hope. A good person is saved from much trouble. A bad person runs straight into it. The loose tongue of the godless spreads destruction. The common sense of the godly preserves them. When it goes well for good people, the whole town cheers. When it goes badly for bad people, the whole town celebrates. When right living people bless the city, it flourishes. Evil talk turns it into a ghost town in no time. Mean-spirited slander is heartless. Quiet discretion accompanies good sense. A gadabout gossip can't be trusted with a secret, but someone of integrity won't violate a confidence. Without good direction, people lose their way. With more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Whoever makes deals with strangers is sure to get burned. If you keep a cool head, you avoid rash bargains. A woman of gentle grace gets respect, but men of rough violence grab for loot. A God-shaped life. When you're kind to others, you help yourself. When you're cruel to others, you hurt yourself. Bad work gets paid with a bad check. Good work gets solid pay. Take your stand with God's loyal community and live, or chase after phantoms of evil and die. God can't stand deceivers, but oh, how he relishes integrity. Count on this, the wicked won't get off scot-free, and God's loyal people will triumph. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout, is a beautiful face on an empty head. The desires of good people lead straight to the best, but wicked ambition ends in angry frustration. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Curses on those who drive a hard bargain. Blessings on those who play fair and square. The one who seeks good finds delight. The student of evil becomes evil. A life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. Exploit or abuse your family and end up with a fistful of air. Common sense tells you it's a stupid way to live. A good life is a fruit-bearing tree. A violent life destroys souls. If good people barely make it, what's in store for the bad?
Okay, so Proverbs 11. Some very interesting verses in this particular Proverbs. One of my favorite verses, but probably for the wrong reasons. It starts off with the importance of the integrity of the honest that keeps them on track. And as Christians, we need to be full of integrity. It's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. And our principles, obviously, are based on the Word of God. Jesus, we are told, was never accused of anything that was true. He was always accused of the things and the lies that the Pharisees spoke. And even things that kind of come close to that, the Pharisees just actually twist. And it was, in one sense, because of the honesty and integrity of Jesus that the religious leaders wanted him dead, wanted him crucified. And even when the Pharisees sent out people to the temple police to go and check on Jesus, these police come back and they said, we've never heard anyone speak like this man. Jesus was true to his word, full of integrity, could trust every single word he said. And we need to be honest with God. We need to be honest with ourselves. And we need to be honest with people around us. It's strange, you know, back in Genesis, Adam and Eve tried to play hide and seek with God. They hid themselves as if they could hide from God. And sometimes we are in danger of playing that game. But God sees right into our hearts, which is a good thing. He knows our thoughts. And we need to be honest with God. And where we are in our journey with God, we need to be honest about the things we struggle with. We talked about some of those things last night, that the struggle of being able to forgive is not always easy. We can't pretend to be something that we are not with God, with ourselves, and with others. We need to be full of integrity. And Proverbs points out here, and Solomon was an incredibly wealthy person, but he realized that money is not the answer to life. When our troubles come, when the world falls apart, he puts it this way, a thick bankroll is no help when life falls apart. But a principled life can stand up to the worst. In other words, when we stand on the principles of God, whatever comes across our path, we can stand. Money will disappear. So in difficult times, and these are particularly horrendous times, we need to stand on the principles of Scripture and the truth of God's word. And then he goes down in verse 11 and says something really, really important, which I want us to catch and really to explore in prayer. And it says, when right-living people bless the city, it flourishes. Mm. When right-living people bless the city, it flourishes. And I think we need to be working in prayer and talking to one another for Aldershot, for the town. How can we bless Aldershot? How can we bless Aldershot at this time? How can we bless Aldershot when we are through this situation? How can we bless the streets around our church? How can we bless the houses and the people in our street? Sometimes as churches, we can become self-centered. And sometimes we think about, how can God bless me? How can God bless our church? But here, Solomon talks about when right-living people bless the city flourishes. And so I want to take this on board this morning and make it a time of prayer for us in our personal prayers. God, how can I bless those around me? How can I bless people in my family? How can I bless people in my street? How can I bless the town of Aldershot? Somebody has made this acrostic with the word bless, and they've said, B, begin with prayer. L, listen. E, eat with people. Jesus spent a lot of his ministry eating with people. We probably spend most of our time eating on our own. But Jesus spent a lot of time eating with people. S, serve. How do we serve our community? How do we serve our neighborhood? How do we serve the streets around the church? How do I serve the street where I live? And S, story. We all have a story to tell. And when we allow people into our lives to know us, our ups and our downs, our fears and our failures, hopes and dreams, and more importantly, how our story has been changed by Jesus. This isn't some formal presentation from a pulpit or from a platform. This is just natural, a natural conversation with our neighbors and with our friends, with people where we work. Bless the town. Begin with prayer, listen, eat with people, serve people, be ready to tell the story. Someone goes on to say in verse 19, take your stand and live. And really, as Christians, we need to be taking our stand, not in an arrogant way, but a way in which we care for our town, we care for our neighborhood. And we now is the time not to be silent, but to take our stand and to live in the troubled situation and show people that you can live with the peace and the joy of God in our lives, even though we're going through tough times. Now, here comes one of my favorite verses, and it just makes me smile. You might not get it, but it just might be my particular sense of humor. Verse 22 says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful face on an empty head. And I was saying this to Sean last night, actually, that this is one of my favorite verses from Proverbs. Why? It doesn't mean much. What do you mean? Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful face. It's like a beautiful face on an empty head. It just talks about shallowness, really, that people can look the part. People these days spend so much time in looking the part. You know, each of you has spent 2 hours in makeup this morning before coming on to Zoom. On Sunday, you'll spend 3 or 4 hours in makeup because it's a longer service, you know. But so much money is made on people wanting to look good. But it's shallow. It's empty. True beauty is inside, and it's the beauty that God brings to our lives. Like a gold ring on a pig's snout is a beautiful face on an empty head. It's the shallowness of the world when Jesus has come that we might have life and life to the full. And then for me, this chapter 11 is so rich. Verse 24 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And a little bit of a challenge this morning, which world are we living in? Are we living in the world of the generous and getting larger and larger? Or are we living in the world of the stingy and getting smaller and smaller? Now, some people are naturally generous. They're just very giving people, not just financially, but as a person. They just want to bless people. They want to help people. They just have such a generous personality. And others can seem a little stingy, a little mean. And as Christians, we need to be generous in every sense of the way. And this links in obviously with blessing the town, with blessing our neighbors, with blessing the streets around the church. We will not be able to do that if we live in the world of stinginess, because it's the world of stingy, it's all about me. But the world of the generous is all about others. And if we are to bless our town, bless the streets that where we live, then God needs to enlarge our hearts to be generous. And we know that God is generous. Read these words from Ephesians 1 and verse 8 and 9. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by us, by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need. And John 3 verse 1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. God, through Jesus, has lavished his love. God is a generous God. And as his people, we must be a generous people. And we need to learn how to bless our town